gonna shine when the light grows dim. Sing 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Und du walk at sank. It's five.
There's nobody here to like check you.
No, but it is recording and someone else can check me. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Honeydew Me.
I'm Cass.
I'm Emma.
And we talk about sex, sexual feelings.
Counting in French.
Counting in French. Doing the dirty.
Doing French kissing.
We talk about relationships. We talk about yourself. We talk about wellness.
Uh-huh. We could go on and on. We also talk about ourselves.
Yeah, we do talk about ourselves.
A fair amount, if you can get the gist that we love talking.
Our vagines.
Yeah.
Our buttholes.
Yeah, a lot about our buttholes. We've gotten a lot of feedback about that. But sorry, it's my business.
I can do what I want. It's my business.
So welcome, if you're joining us for the first time.
Yeah.
You're probably not, though.
It won't be your last.
So I have, Cass is my dream reader. And I have like a quickie little dream to run past you.
I thought you meant like the person you want to hear read the most. Like, you know, like a dream guest.
My dream narrator.
Okay.
I love when she reads aloud to me. It's actually a foreplay for me.
She'll call me. She'll say, can you just paragraph whatever you're on right now?
Whatever you're on.
I don't care.
No matter what you're reading.
It's always the New Yorker.
Wow. Elegant.
Not my fairy porn books.
It's always the New Yorker. So last night I had a dream that first I was in a Jennifer Coolidge musical.
Okay.
Which I thought was, I was like the doo-wop in the back.
I was the doo-wop.
I was. We were learning how to like do-do-do, do-do-do, Jennifer. Like,
you sure you want to share this? You might want to create this.
I know. TM.
This might get stolen.
TM. Yeah,
nobody take that.
Oh my gosh. Actually, she's like really popping off right now. So yeah. I should be the one to start this musical.
Anyways, you were doo-wop.
So I was doo-wopping in high school. It was, for some reason, I was in high school. And then I sit down and I'm with like other people from high school. And then the guy that I had sex with in college, whom I was obsessed with.
Oh, you mean? I just wanted to say the name so bad.
So you made your own?
Yeah.
Your own bleeper?
Yeah.
That one. Okay. He walks in, but he's... That's not even so many syllables for his name.
Yeah, he had a lot of syllables.
It's not that one. It's just one syllable.
Oh, I said first and last name.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know who you are, motherfucker.
He walks in, but he's really old. Like, old. And then he walks in and he, like, doesn't even
You're
acknowledge
like,
me.
I have aged so much better than you. I've aged backwards.
I'm Benjamin Button compared to you. And yeah, so he's super old and he doesn't acknowledge me. He doesn't look at me. He just like says hi to this person I went to high school with and then grabs his surfboard and walks away. What do I do with this?
You're not good at sex.
And he is. He reigns all.
Yeah, you're not even worth his time anymore.
I guess not. Even in his old age, he just says, get fucked.
That pussy wasn't good then and it won't be good now.
I reject you still, even when I'm 60 and you're 20.
I think that some dreams don't have meaning.
I'm going to go with this one. No meaning. It might not.
I don't know.
I just thought it was interesting because I don't think about him. And I
think you watched some TV and then...
I am watching a lot of TV right now.
Somebody just in the back of your mind, because it was such terrible sex, so it stuck with you, just walked on through your dream. But he was gross then, and so you, I don't know, made him a grody old man.
Wow, profound. I'm going to journal about that later.
That'll be $20. You can Venmo me.
Oh, Okay, great. Well, thank you. That's all I needed. I am really stoked about the Jennifer Coolidge musical. Oh my God, I'm going to pull my head off. There we go.
Your head off?
Yeah, oh, I had the cord wrapped around my foot.
Wrapped around your ankle.
My ankle.
You're hopped on yourself. Kinky.
Kinky. Sorry.
Sorry, I'm so kinky.
I'm in the mood. Gotta do something. Scratch that itch.
I got itch that scratch.
The other one.
No. I got an itch to scratch. I got a scratch. I got an itch.
You have a good that voice.
Thank you.
Oh, God. Today, actually, is a lot about accents in the way that it's not, but we use a lot of them.
Yeah, because the only other person who does them with us is back on Miss Victoria Albina.
Yeah. I was about to just, like, end it before we even introduced Victoria. Like, well, it's all she wrote.
Well, hope you liked that solo episode.
It's
was
five
that
minutes
enough for you? Do you feel satisfied?
Did you
come?
Did you come? I did. Thrice over.
Yeah. So I don't know if you didn't come. There is something biologically wrong with you.
You should get that checked out.
Yeah.
That'll be $20.
Your copay is going to be $40 this time because that was so stupid.
So stupid. Oh, yes. Victoria's back on answering your questions and or addressing your statements.
Yeah, just they had an air of question about them.
An air of question.
Sprinkle of a question mark.
We lofted out a question box to you guys if you had questions, concerns about love, sex, relationships, anxiety, and we got a plethora.
Yeah, you just slam dunked them right in that cue box.
Right in my cue box.
You just like shoved them in my cue box and I was like, hell yeah.
I think we only need to record at 7 a.m. because that's when we're the funniest.
The day hasn't weathered me yet.
I'm spry.
It hasn't taken away my sparkle.
I'm so happy right now. Okay, great. Yeah, so, I mean, you know what you asked, and Victoria's here to...
You fucking know what you asked.
Victoria's here to answer it. But, like, who better to tell you and help explain everything that's going on in your life and your little brain?
Yeah. Who better?
Who better? Not me, apparently. So I'm going to softball this one over to her.
And, she's going to slam dunk it. So we'll see on the other side.
That's sports, right?
Did I just sport?
You sported.
Did I sport all over your face?
At this point, you're here like every 2 weeks on our show, so we're all familiar.
Honestly, the episodes you're not on, they're like, where the fuck is Victoria?
I know.
What the fuck is going on?
The same question.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, because people ask so much. Sorry, I totally cut you off. Do you have something to say?
No, it's cool. I was just being me, which is silly. Go on, because people ask what?
Just so much of you and from you from these episodes. They just love to hear from you. We wanted to collect their actual questions and use their voices when communicating with you today.
So like we'll be doing a variety of accents
like
and
the Holy
tones.
Spirit. They're actually going to speak through
really
me.
I'm excited about this. Also, my cousin, so the Argentine accent in English is very a specific accent. And so my cousin Rosario moved from Argentina, from Mar del Plata, our hometown, just this little beach town, to Dublin. And so now she has like an Irish accent and an Argentine accent at the same time. I can't do it. I won't do it. But it is one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. We should have her on the show.
God, absolutely.
Absolutely. Random words.
Yeah. That would be really funny. Like a 10-minute segment of like, go, say toilet.
Go.
Say toilet.
Say baguette. Just that.
Okay, what is it? I have so many questions about why toilet and baguette, but.
Those are the only two words.
Those
Emma.
Are the only things I do throughout the day. I shit and I eat bread.
And eat baguettes.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yours is a good life, my sister.
I'm doing the Lord's
you're living
work.
You're large, darling.
You've done really well
doing
for
the
yourself.
Lord's work?
Yeah.
That's all.
So, our listeners will speak through me today. Cass and I. And we should just, we'll kick it off with this one.
If you don't go head first into the thickest accent.
I don't have a good one, so I'm not going to even, want to butcher it. One question we got is, can you manage your partner's insecurities in a relationship, or is it theirs to deal with?
Oh, it's so funny. My brain, when you said, can you manage? My brain just said, nope.
Nope.
Before I even finished it. Do you know what? Because of what we talk about, I knew it was going to be something external. Can you manage another person, another adult? Well, you can't even manage a child. No. And we can do the things that are possible to show up with love, with care, with kindness, with consideration, with thoughtfulness, with gentleness, with tenderness, while still honoring our truth and our needs, right? I talk a lot about the difference between being kind and being nice, right? So being direct. Be a direct communicator, saying what's up, setting limits, setting boundaries, saying that doesn't work for me. I'm not available for that. That is kindness, right? Mm-hmm. And being nice is people pleasing and the bullshit of appeasement, fawning in the nervous system, trying to, when we say manage someone else's anxiety, we're saying control, right? Like, that's what we actually want to do is like, yo, I love you, but you're really fucking anxious. And that is activating the anxiety in my body. And I don't know how to manage my nervous system. So I'm going to need to come over here into your space and manage your emotions and experience of life so that I don't have emotions I'm not really out here trying to have. Mm-hmm. And like, also, so beyond can one, like, is it possible? Like, if you actually love someone, why are you trying to do that? Why are you trying to take away their opportunity to be with themselves, to manage themselves, to grow, to shift, to change, to become the fullest expression of themselves in this life, to manage their own karma, their own nervous system, right? Why are you trying to take that opportunity away from them? And I can answer that question because I love them and because it really fucking stresses me out when they're stressed out. So start on your own side of the street and manage you. I always think of the words of the great psychologist and poet Shakira, who says, "Cuando hay que hablar de dos, siempre empezar con uno mismo." Right? When we need to speak of two, always start with yourself.
God, that's a good great one. Poet. What that's a great poet.
Right? Yeah. I love me some Shakira, like some old school Shakira, like before the English thing happened. Because I'm just not into it. You know, I want pies descalzos. I want my old school. Vintage Shakira. So anyway,
she listens, so she'll get that suggestion from you, which is great.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is she like in jail in Spain? Did that ever happen?
I think it's on its way to happening.
Okay, how's she gonna get her honey-do me there?
I don't know. Actually, we're really big in Spain. Oh. So they actually just play
in
it
Spanish jails.
Yeah. In Spanish jails.
Basically, they'll play it for everyone in the morning. Right. So that's fine. Okay.
Oh, definitely. In the morning, it's part of their rec time.
Right.
I figured.
So does that answer the question? What do you think?
Yeah. What if your partner though thinks that you leaving them to be with themselves, you know, like not trying to manage their anxiety, what if they consider that like ignoring their needs? Yeah, in a relationship. They're like, "Well, I need you to not flirt with other people because that's a big insecurity for me." And the fact that you're ignoring that.
Okay. So that's a whole different. I'll say, okay, let's pause and tease this apart, right? Because if your partner's anxious because you're crossing a limit or a boundary, that's a different story. My brain went to like a partners of mine who've been like, we need to like cook dinner for this dinner party. I need to pick a recipe. I'm getting anxious. That's when I'm like, I trust in you and I have faith that you can pick. You can take some breaths, you can meditate, you know, you can do your process and you can make this decision, right? Like, I don't need to jump in here and be your rescuer, your savior, your martyr, your saint, take over your life, make these decisions for you, which leaves you feeling ever less able to actually make the decisions and manage your anxiety.
Right.
So that's where my brain, right? That's sort of more, I don't think it's more quotidian, but like the quotidian anxiety, right? The like day-to-day getting stuff done, moving through the world, going through TSA kind of anxiety. But like I set a boundary. I set a limit of like, we are mutually monogs and everyone consented to that. So we don't flirt with other people. And if you flirt with other people, it makes me anxious. It is not your job to manage the it makes me anxious because there's nothing you can do about that. But it's 100% your job to uphold a line of consent that you agreed to. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's, for me, it's less about like, I don't want to make my partner, like, make them anxious because I know I can't do that. Mm-hmm. But I do know that if I agreed to not do something, I should not do it.
Mm-hmm. What if
or you like have a conversation?
Right. Yeah. What if you don't agree with their insecurities? You know, like I feel like I haven't agreed with some of my partners where like they get insecure when I have guy friends or they get insecure if I go out without them. And it's like, well, that's just me living my life, you know? Mm-hmm. And so right. How do you manage when that comes up for your partner and you just don't agree?
I think you get to be really clean and clear about it, by which I mean taking the judgment out, mm-hmm. right? So not starting from like, oh, dude, come on. That's stupid. You think it's a problem that I have dude friends? Like if you're starting from there, right? If you're starting from judgment, if you're starting from your own, the pain in your own body, your own fears, your own work, like if you're starting from riled up, mm-hmm. we're not going anywhere cute. Like there's just nowhere cute to go here. You know what I mean? And when you come to these conversations from judging them, oof, you've lost. Because you're outside of love, right? Because true unconditional love is, I see that this, me having dude friends, touches an insecurity, a pain point, is activating for you in your nervous system. I don't need to say like, dude, you're right. I'm going to drop my 7 best friends who just all happen to be dudes, but I'm going to hold space for the pain in you because I love you, mm-hmm. which is really different from saying I'm going to change my life and do just like whatever you want me to do, mm-hmm. right? Because that's when we get codependent with it, mm-hmm. right? I need to manage your feelings by changing my life and negatively impacting me or taking me out of my joy in an attempt to not have you have a feeling, right? Mm-hmm. And so the interdependent choice there is one of mutuality and reciprocity, in which you come together to a collective understanding of your collective needs as individual people, but as the third party, which is the relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so for the health of this relationship, my request is that you take a look at your insecurity around me having male friends so that it doesn't become my responsibility to manage that for you, because I'm not taking it on. Mm-hmm. Like that is a heavy ass backpack that I will not carry for you. Mm-hmm. Like I can't, you need to carry that. Mm-hmm. Right. And so for me, that feels really different than flirting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But at the same time, like my partner and I could flirt in front of each other and it's just part of our thing. Like it would be cute. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like we were on vacation. We were like, ooh, snap. She's so cute, huh? And like, right. Like, but we can do that. Cause that's neither one of us is insecure about that, mm-hmm. but it's really individual.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm just saying like, it's not a universal, like that's bad flirting in front of your partner, but it really is about knowing your boundaries, your limits, and then holding space for whatever's getting activated. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, did that person's parents cheat on each other when they were 6 and that's what led to the divorce? And then they had to leave Brooklyn and move to Cleveland and they missed their best friends. And then their dog died the week they were going to move. And so, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's the heavy here that's getting activated? Yeah. And that's what I would get curious around. Mm-hmm. What's coming up for you versus you can't tell me to do that.
Right. I really like that. And that connects back to what you said about being kind versus being nice, mm-hmm. for me. Like, I really like that distinction because I think I've spent a lot of time being nice, mm-hmm. and it doesn't come from a place of kindness. It comes from a place of like people pleasing and just not wanting to cause a stir.
Yeah.
Right. And I also,
good girl training is intense, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also, it's a great reminder to not start from, even if you find things ridiculous, not start from a place of irritation and You're Ridiculous. I've done that. Yeah. And you're right. It's not cute.
What are you, human? It's not cute.
It's not cute.
You're cuter than that.
Yeah, I am. I'm really pretty. So
Yeah, you are.
But
you
think
you don't need that bullshit.
All of that is a really good reminder. Kind's not nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Kind not that nice. Kind not nice.
Tattooed on my bum.
On your bum.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Would you like to take the next one?
I will take the next one. So the next one isn't exactly a question. It's more of a statement with air of help around it.
A cute little question mark in the air. Is that your voice coming out?
That's my voice. Okay. Being queer in a heterosexual relationship, I feel like I'm missing out on experimenting.
Oh, that was it. Okay. yeah. You there are words missing here, like I'm just gonna make some assumptions, like mutually monogamous, right? Or there would be tons of experimenting. That sounds like a fact, yes.
Right.
So you get to decide, beloved listener, if that's a fact you're cool with, that's a fact you're not cool with, and what you want to do about it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I feel,
you know?
Right. I feel like I've, we've had these conversations before. It feels very like claustrophobic before you understand that like conversations are totally your right to have. Like I've been felt like I've trapped in a relationship before I realized like through this podcast, like no, conversations around what you think monogamy are, what you think happiness and successfulness in a relationship is. Mm-hmm. And I think starting with having that conversation, even inside your own head, is huge for this listener.
Yeah.
Because conversation should just be normal as you keep growing and developing. And 100%. Like you don't have to break up or feel like you're missing out. I think you start with a conversation.
Totally. And I think, yes, 100%. And I think it is really important to, so we can get into these spins in our head where it's like we sort of denigrate what we've got. It's the grass is always greener. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, oh, if I wasn't in this heterosexual marriage, then I would be exploring and it would be so amazing and everything would be incredible. When we look to outside circumstances to create our emotions, our feelings, our experience of life, we lose out on the experience of self as creator of lived experience. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Like you could go on an all expenses paid trip to Tahiti and have a really shitty time because you go with a shitty attitude. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? You could go to like the most amazing 70s orgies in your DeLorean and your partner's cool with it. And you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And it's not the fulfilling thing you wish it were.
Right.
It's the thing doesn't create your experience. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So just want to say that always. And when you're, this sounds so like whatever, but it was life changing for me. When you're doing one thing, you're not doing another. And we just need to get okay with that. Mm. Right? Like this FOMO of not being in the present moment. Like, oh, I'm in this heterosexual marriage. And I'm going to put some words in here that I don't know, but maybe loving, kind, caring, supportive, growth-based, right? It may be all of those things. And the brain's like, yeah, but I'm not stooping 17 babes at the party this weekend, right? Uh-huh. Right.
I wish like, my brain talked to me that way.
Yeah. You want to? You can hang out in mine for a minute because there's a lot going on up here with a lot of different accents. Let me tell you what, it's a good time. Right. But and I'm not saying that like going and getting what you want and having the conversation like you were just saying towards the end of maybe you can open it up. Maybe you can open it up in certain ways. Maybe you can create some space for some other exploration. Those conversations are vital and important. And for me, if a partner is unable to have those conversations, that for me puts a big question mark on the field of like, do I want this? Is this what's right for me? Right. Because if someone can't talk about sex, I don't know. If you can't talk about sex, I don't want to be having sex with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's sort of where it comes down to for me.
Mm-hmm.
So God, that just flashed me back to San Francisco, like 12, 14 years ago, and this super hot butch was hitting on me and we were making out, and I wanted to like have frank conversation about sex, like, what are you into, as like clothes are coming off, and she like couldn't talk about it. And I just was like, I'm leaving, because yeah. if you can't talk about sex, we shouldn't be having it.
Right.
You know, which is not to diss anyone who can't have those conversations. I understand what's happening in the nervous system that puts us into dorsal, that keeps us from being able to have the conversations. People come from, you know, religious backgrounds that are shame-based. You know, there's so many reasons why. And for me, for this animal, if we can't talk about it, I'm not doing it. You know what I mean?
Right. I feel like that kind of connects back to the conversation we just had about managing somebody else's insecurities. Mm. You know totally. What I mean? Like, if you yeah. are able to have those conversations about sex, but a partner isn't, it's like, okay, I'm just not there with you right now. Yeah. And I can understand where you're coming from, and I can be kind and come from a place of love right. and have a
still
boundary.
Have my needs met
right.
and not right. just be yeah. here to please you.
Mm-hmm. I yes, struggle 100%. Significantly with FOMO. So Cass knows this.
Yeah.
Inside
it's the best way to get Emma to do anything is to just say, you're going to go do it. And then Emma's like,
it's
fine.
It's so annoying. It's so annoying. And so if you're feeling like you're someone who's sucked into that easily when you're like, grass is always greener in your relationship, mm-hmm. what are some exercises or some like things you can walk yourself through to bring you back to the present moment?
Present moment awareness mm-hmm. is the only answer to FOMO, right? Because it's always about not being here, not being now.
Right.
Because when you're here and now, it's actually pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, even in the shittiest of circumstances, coming back to present moment awareness, I am breathing. I have a body that is breathing. Right. Like, holy shit, that's pretty incredible. Right. And, you know, I'm a total nerd and like a science nerd, so I'm like, yo, I have mitochondria that are doing the Krebs cycle. Like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Kidding like, me this with this shit?
Being seriously, I'm like, look at this blood moving through these veins. There's like these little valves that like open and close. So I come back to the minutia. I go super micro. That works for me. Just coming back to feeling the breath. Right. And pausing long enough to remember that you are breathing and being breathed sometimes can create, like, it just puts a little crack in the story. You know, it's like the glass starts to crack a little, that story that like anything other than this moment is perfect, because this present moment is the most perfect thing that there is. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I think it's calming. Sounds like. Okay. A calm story that I listen to at night.
Calm story.
Yeah.
All right. Do you think it would help you in the moment if your brain is like, oh, I want to like stay here and hang out, but also like Megan's having a party, but like, oh, so-and-so's going to the movies?
Somewhat. I feel like my FOMO is so big sometimes that it'll take more of thinking about what you said earlier about grass is always greener too. Where it's like, yeah, oh, you're yeah. always comparing to a moment that's not here. It'll be like, mine is more like I need to talk myself out of it. But breathing would definitely help start being like, oh, this is a moment. You're experiencing this feeling. Yeah. Let's talk ourselves yeah. down now that we're like back to the present.
Right, maybe right, right, bit. Right. Yeah, and I like the idea of using cognition, using thinking and mindset as a bridge towards a more somatic experience. Towards a body-based experience, right? Because it's all about meeting yourself where you're at. And if what feels easy, warm, like, oh, okay, I can go there, is really getting in your brain and staying in your brain, I say do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe invite yourself to consider that possibly in the future. Do you see how much space we're putting in there? Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
Coming back to the body may be the way to ground you, center you, and bring you right back here, the place from which we need no escape. Mm-hmm. Right? Because when we're truly grounded and centered in our body, nothing is better. Like, really being present in my body is the most, it's the most amazing show in all of this New York City. right? It's the best thing that I could possibly do on any given Friday night in my beautiful Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Right?
That was quite the poem.
Why, thank you. Yesterday I was doing a webinar and I was like, you know what you could do? You could come hang out with a dork that loves you. Referring to myself. And I've gotten like 45 emails and DMs this morning that are like, the dork that loves you.
It's like, but I'm bummed.
I say some shit. I just open my mouth and the words come. And these are the words.
These are the words.
Great. I got the words.
I love
that. I would be really curious to see what a mindfulness practice and potentially even a meditation practice mm-hmm. could do for you around the FOMO. Mm-hmm. Because really, like, having 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day. And like, I will also tell you that like meditation is not unlike cocaine, that when you have a little, you want more, mm-hmm. at least in my life, right? Like my partner and I sit together twice a day. And some like when life gets short and we're like, only 12 minutes today, only 18. We're both kind of like, oh man, 30. Mm-hmm. Like you just, because it feels so good. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it really is the best show in town. I'd just be curious.
Right.
How that could shift for you, right? And so like a mindfulness practice can really start with like, okay, every time I have a warm beverage, I pause and I just breathe and I feel the weight of the cup. I feel the density of the cup. I feel the temperature. I smell the tea. I taste it, or the coffee, whatever. Doesn't hit motor oil. It's irrelevant. I just get present, right? I get present with it. And I get present. And I like to start folks with something external to self, because it's a little less scary to the nervous system sometimes, right? Than being like, go inside your body and connect with your breath. Particularly, and I just want to say this loud so the folks in the back can hear me. If your body was the site of trauma, then all these yoga influencer hashtag whatever, go inside, feel your feelings in your body. That is a recipe for getting like legit triggered potentially. And it's not where we start. It's where we end, but that end may take a year or two or three or four to get to. So just like, if you're like, oh, going into my body feels not very smartly. Yep. That is right. Honor that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so start with mindfulness that is outside. Start with mindfulness, like walking around your, like first thing in the morning, when you walk to pee or walk to the kitchen, walk slowly and feel your footsteps. Mm-hmm. And just feel like my foot on the ground. And start like really cultivating minute mindfulness. And then let's talk when we record next about maybe a meditation practice that's like 10 deep breaths mm-hmm. towards 1 minute of meditation, right? And building from there. Because for me, the more so there's the difference between practice and praxis. And I trust y'all to cut me off, because your girl's going as your girl will go.
She's
Argentine and a tuaca. All right. So praxis. So practice is important. It is softball practice, right? Rehearsal. Mm-hmm. It is doing the thing so that you know how to do the thing. And when I teach somatics, body-based practices, which is that's the core of what I teach and do with my clients, we do different movements. We do different things to bring us into mindfulness and connection with our body in time and space, our body in the present moment, our body and an emotion. And the goal of all of this practice is praxis, P-R-A-X-I-S, living the thing. Where you're not practicing connecting with your body. You're not practicing connecting with your breath. You're not practicing letting your mind go blank, right? And by blank, I mean, you know, opening up your mind to the great nothingness that is all and everything, but rather it's just how you're living, mm-hmm. right? And so you're just living in connection with self, with your breath, with the world. You're just living mindfully. You're living from somatic bodily connection. Mm-hmm. And that for me has been that's the game changer.
Right.
Right. Is knowing that I am deeply present in this animal. And so again, there's nothing more delicious and amazing than being here right now with me.
Mm-hmm. That's a ticket I'll buy to that
also
show.
Also, like my friend Cara's in Madrid right now. And yeah, when I saw her pictures, I was like, oh, I want to be in Madrid. Because that's normal and natural and human. But those things become a blip of like, oh, man. Mm-hmm. And not like, you know?
Yeah.
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 Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Cool. No, I love that. That sounds, yeah. That's such a deeper value to bring to yourself when you're feeling like external things are more valuable than being with yourself. So I love that.
It also brings me back to our conversation from last time, time before, who knows, it's all a beautiful blur of presence during sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Cause it's the same thing, right? It's, you may not be having FOMO while having sex. And if you are, we need to talk.
Yeah.
But you're like, I wish I was having different sex. Like, mm-hmm. right. That's a different conversation. But like the mind wandering, right? You leaving the room, not being present.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of part and parcel of the same thing of training the mind, right? Reorienting the nervous system to felt and embodied safety here and now.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's also what's at the crux and the core of this is building enough internal safety so that it's safe to be here. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be here. It's okay to be with yourself. It's nothing but amazing. And you don't have to fly off to FOMO or doing the dishes in your brain or like, you know, do we need more butter? You're just like,
you're just here. I'm wondering if we want to stay on this comparison train for another question because somebody else said or asked, how do I stop comparing myself to my boyfriend's ex? I'm struggling to feel comfortable. And I'm thinking maybe it might be somewhat similar to what we have talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does feel similar to me of, you know, asking yourself, what is it? What is your brain trying to do? That's been one of my really, my favorite questions lately. Like, what's your brain up to? But like legit, what's it trying to do? So when it's comparing you to her, I'm just going to go with those pronouns, but it's comparing you to her. What is your brain trying to do for you? And people think I'm doing like a coach trick and they're supposed to say nothing. No, we answer. This is like a legitimate question. What is your brain and your nervous system trying to do? Well, my brain doesn't think I'm worthy of love and care. And so if it compares me to her, then I can disqualify myself from being lovable before he even realizes what a piece of shit I am. So then when he leaves me, it won't hurt as bad. Oh.
Okay.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Do you still want to do that? So then asking the next question, how does that serve me? And again, it's not a trick. Answer it. How does that serve you? It keeps me in the belief that I can protect myself from being hurt by controlling situations and people around me from my codependent conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So from there, what does the part of me that believes this is the safest option for me? What does that part need so it can step into greater ease and comfort with me, for me? What can I do to bring it some greater safety, right? Mm-hmm. And so maybe it needs a hug. Maybe it needs a walk. Maybe it needs to journal. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe it just needs to be heard. Maybe it needs to sit with you. But you don't know until you ask, until you get into conversation, until you start to really show all the parts of you that they are valuable, they are important, they matter with you, their opinion matters, mm-hmm. right? And their goals for you, don't die, don't be rejected, don't be abandoned, don't be left to die cold and alone on a mountaintop, right? Keep the village happy with you, people please them, appease them, fawn, do it, right? That is towards the goal of love and safety for you. And so that is really truly befriending our nervous systems, the parts of us, all the internal motivators, for me is one of the most important parts of our healing work, because you're not driving the bus, you're not making your own adult decisions, while there are all these like unbridled parts of you screaming, oh, we're going to be rejected and die. Mm-hmm. And so befriending them, not in some cursory like, oh, hey, what's up, but in a like ride or die, you and me, for real, like, we are in this life, in this body, in this psyche together. Let's really connect. Like, let's really be a team. That is what radically changed my life. And that's one of the processes I do with my clients and has radically changed hundreds of lives, because it really shifts the dynamic internally. So you're not subjugate to some voice that thinks you're 4 years old or 8 years old or 14 years old. You can be your whole integrated, autonomous adult self when all the parts of you are on board with that being true. It is most easy to be that version of yourself.
Mm-hmm. And addressing it like that also, for me, takes away the shame of like, that's a really shitty thing that you're doing right now, is like comparing yourself to your ex. Right. Like, you're being a really shitty partner, and shame, 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 you know, like all that stuff.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, that's, for me, that's why I'm so obsessed with the nervous system stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And all the somatic work and the parts work, because it's not you. It's the fact that you're a mammal, right? Like, when you go into sympathetic and you get activated, you're like, but I'm really anxious. Like, what if she's prettier than me? What if she's better than me? What if she, like, smells better than me? What if she, like, she doesn't have as many split ends as me? What? Mm-hmm. It's because you're a mammal and your body sees losing this person as threat. So then the next level of inquiry I would get into is, what's the part of you that sees losing this person as threat? Like, let's get curious there. Cause like, that's feeling a little co too. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, are you emotionally outsourcing? So for folks new to my world, I work in the areas of codependency, perfectionism, and people pleasing, which I call emotional outsourcing. Cause I don't like any of those other words. So let's make up our own words. We're very postmodern. So emotional outsourcing, right? Giving away your power, your emotional, the management and regulation of your emotions to others, mm-hmm. saying others create my feelings. Like we were talking about earlier with like circumstances and FOMO, that creates my feelings. No, you get to create. Right? In working hand in glove with your nervous system, of course. And so like, what is it about this person potentially, I don't know, liking her, that other woman's feet better, that like has you going into the spin of I'm not enoughness, mm-hmm. right? Like, why is that located outside of you in your partner? Do you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just that's a place to get really curious. And then finally, I would just remind yourself, if your partner wanted to be with that other person, they would be with them. Mm-hmm. And they're with you because they want to be with you.
Right.
Which is like really hard to remember sometimes. So like, mm-hmm. I'm not out here like, duh, but I'm like, just put it on a post-it, remind yourself.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I feel like conversations around insecurities, I feel like there's a lot of stuff wrapped up in that as well. And we recently had an episode where we talked about, you know, like being a chill girl, being a cool girl. And I feel like talking about your insecurities is like not cool, not chill, because then you come off as mm-hmm. insecure. Mm-hmm. And when does it become important to like not only do this internal work, but also talk about this insecurity with your partner?
Talking about your insecurity doesn't make you not chill. Not talking about it and then acting from it. Like mm-hmm. that's some shitty shit right there. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right? Like yeah. Let's compare and contrast. You're like having a cup of tea with your partner sitting on the couch. And you're like, baby, I'm insecure because X, Y, and Z. And here's how I am supporting myself. We always start there. Mm-hmm. Shakira taught us. Mm-hmm. Here's how I would like you, right? Phrase B, here's how I would like your support around this, if that you're available for that. That's hella chill. Like that's dope. Like that's amazing. That is oof. That is sexy and delicious. Like y'all are gonna have really good sex after that, right? Mm-hmm. Versus, I don't want to talk about not like having insecurities because that's gonna make me seem chill. And then like he texts his mm-hmm. like how? Like that is the antithesis of chill, Nespa. Uh-huh. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I'm out here for some simple, direct conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's one of the sexiest things on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And like, of course you're insecure. You're a mammal living in the patriarchy, white settler colonialism, and late stage capitalism. All day long, we're sold. You have cellulite, and that means you're terrible. Here's an $80 cream. Oh, have you considered SlimFast? What about this diet? What about dye your hair? What about you shouldn't have hair? Why aren't you hairless? You should grow more hair. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. everything is selling us everything based on insecurity,
right?
Based on a beauty standard that's bullshit in the patriarchy. Like, of course you're insecure. Cool. Let's support each other mm-hmm. and let's shift that.
Yeah.
But we can't do that unless we talk about it. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Just saying.
Just casually saying. You know me, just casually. I'm just like just casual out here.
So casual.
I'm pretty chill.
Pretty chill.
People
chill
talk about me and they're like, you know who's super duper chill? Maria Victoria Albina. She's just like super, just not a hyped up Leo all the time about everything, especially love.
She has few words on that, actually.
Yeah. Few words.
Very. So.
Yeah. People, it's actually like a real problem for me, my lack of intense verbosity. Yeah.
Intense verbosity, the longest word ever to describe yourself being super chill. I love it.
I feel heard and seen.
Yeah.
That's why I love talking to you all.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is it bad or wrong to go into those conversations, you know, doing your own work, here's what I'm doing for myself,
yeah.
and also seeking some validation and just like some of those like kind of surface level words of like, no, like you're so hot. I love you. I want to be with you.
Sometimes I just want to hear I'm hot. Like that is very true. It's like, I understand that the longer conversation is amazing and necessary. And sometimes I just want to be like, babe, shut your beautiful mouth.
Shut your ugly ass mouth.
You're right. You're ugly. No, you're wonderful and hot and beautiful. And then also let's go into this.
Mm-hmm. And also, no, yeah. I don't think it's wrong and bad. I think where it gets problematic is if you have no capacity to or access to believing that on your own mm-hmm. most of the time mm-hmm. or like legit ever. Right. If you're like, I only feel sexy when my partner tells me right. or when Cass and Emma tell me, but like, but you know, if it's 100% in someone else's hands to like create that emotion for you, that's when you might want to hit me up for some coaching, you know, like mm-hmm. let's work on that codependent emotional outsourcing. But like, yo, I am a Leo and I don't know, y'all are getting to know what an Argentine is, but we are vain. And I'm out here, like, I, like, throw my pretty hair around, and I'm like, hey, babe, how's my hair look today? And my part, Billy knows she needs to be like, oh, it looks gorgeous. Uh-huh. And I can go do that. I can go do that alone. I don't even need a mirror. I just, like, throw my hair, and I know it.
And I know it.
Uh-huh. I know it. I know my crowning glory. And sometimes you just want to hear it, and that's cool. And also sometimes we're in a tender place. Sometimes we like, we're in Brooklyn right now. We mostly live upstate, but we're in Brooklyn this week. And like a car alarm went off starting at 3 a.m. and it's like 11. It still goes off. It's just.
No, thank you.
So I'm tired. And if I'm like, babe, I'm tired today and a little whiny and like 7 days out from my period. And I just, can you tell me I'm stunning? I don't think there's a damn thing wrong with that. But if I needed her to tell me for me to have self-esteem, that's yeah. where that's that doesn't feel in service of my wellness. How was that for diplomatic?
Mm-hmm. Loved it.
Not in service of my wellness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's not in service of the relation, mm-hmm. right? Because then if she doesn't tell me, then I'm resentful. If she doesn't tell me, I'm pissed off. She, right?
That's true.
It becomes mm-hmm. her job. It's not, that's nobody's job but mine.
Right.
Right. And I know at this point to spread the love, right? Like I will text Marie. I will text Alessandra, right? Like I'll text my girls and be like, hey, you know, well, because we talk this way, because I'm like cycle day 22. Tell me I'm gorgeous. You know what I mean?
Like a field journal.
And yeah.
Right, exactly. They're like, oh, girl, you are beautiful. And I'm like, okay, come on, come on, a little more. Nothing wrong.
Rub around in it.
Right? Uh-huh. It's all about the balance. All of this shit's all about the balance. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. All about it.
You're hitting some really great abbreviations for words today, and I'm loving it. Or thank accents you. On it.
Yeah.
Little co, a little you. Balance.
Little balance.
Balance.
I've been saying TLDR lately, like a lot, and I thought people knew what that meant, but a lot of people have been staring at me like, what is that?
I do that to my sister all the time, and she's like, okay, thanks. Sorry.
Okay, thanks. Can you English?
Yeah.
No. Sometimes I cannot, will not, shan't. I shan't.
I shan't.
I feel like we don't, as a society, say shan't enough.
Correct. That is true.
So I'm bringing shan't back. Like bringing sexy back, but maybe bringing the opposite.
Shan't
back.
But shan't. Yeah.
But shan't.
I'm bringing shan't. Don't sing. Nobody needs me to sing. Because then someone's going to call The Hague and be like, she sang again. And we already decided that that is a crime against humanity. So.
Oh, anyway. Amazing. Do we want to just do one more?
Yeah. What one?
Yeah.
All right. So the last question, is it a question? I guess it's more of a statement. I want to enjoy sex so badly, but it just makes me feel used. No desire at all. Doctors say I'm fine, but it's ruining my relationships, both intimate and friendships, because I feel like an outcast.
Okay, there's so many layers there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to really start by sending this person so much love and care. Mm-hmm. And I also, like, I'm going to come at this from a functional medicine nurse practitioner point of view, and then we'll get coachy on it. Mm-hmm. Number one, your allopathic Western medicine person telling you your hormones look fine means jack shit. It means zero things. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just that it's not, it means nothing to me as a functional medicine provider, like nothing. So if there is a part of you that's like, I really think this is biological. I really think this is organic. I think this is coming from the animal. Which, like, the sex makes me feel used, makes me feel like it's probably more about story and mindset and psychology. And I'm going to hold space for all possibility, because that's what unconditional love is all about. Find a functional medicine person. You can go on the Institute for Functional Medicine's website, ifm.org. That's a nonprofit. We are not sponsored by ifm.org. And find a functional medicine provider, someone who focuses on hormonal health. And like, just get checked out, like do a legit for reals adrenal hormone balance, boom, thing. Great. Let's put that aside now. Sex makes me feel used. Oof. Right. That is that my little bell of maybe a trauma therapist could be helpful here is going off. I don't know about y'all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would. That is a big statement. Like, to that needs some deep unpacking. I feel like modalities, like I practice somatic experiencing, that could be really helpful. Internal family systems work could be helpful to really start to figure out who the parts are, how old the parts are, what part of you is holding this belief, where in your body does this story live that all sex means you're being used. Who taught you that? Right. Mm-hmm. Like one of my best friends grew up in a very shame-based Protestant household where, like, you know, bodies were not talked about. Bodies were not okay. Like even the sniffles was like, whoa, like too much data. Right. About like fluids.
TLDR.
Is that pretty? Right. No, like legit. She was like, yeah, like, I couldn't say snot growing up. Like, wow. My mom would be like, oh, God, oh, no, not bodies. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
So, like, where did this story come from? Mm-hmm. Where does it reside within you? I would just get really curious about this story. I think really creating embodied safety for yourself around your sexuality is going to be so key here. Are you having sex with yourself? Does that feel like being used? What's the story around that? What are your needs around sexual time, energetically, sensual time, intimate time with yourself and your own body, right? Even thinking about it, like what's coming up for you? What's happening in your body? And so creating real safety for you with you, I think is going to be so incredibly important and such a vital and valuable place to start. Mm-hmm.
The masturbation point was... important. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Hit.
It hit. Yeah. It was just, that was interesting because I was just thinking of it as external sex with someone else. But yeah, also looking first at how you feel when you're masturbating can be huge.
Or like putting lotion on your feet or your legs. Like, can you have a sensual connection, an intimate connection with your own body? Or is it like, or is it, you know, that slapdash, like, I don't want dry feet, gonna slap some lotion on, put some socks on, off we go. Like, how are you relating to your own physical form? Mm-hmm. How are you relating to yourself as a sensual and sexual animal? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, could you put some oil on your elbows for like a few minutes and have it be like, oh, wow, the texture of my skin. What pressure do I like? Like, what does it feel for me to show up and be with me? It doesn't even need to involve genitals or sex or orgasm. Like, what is it to have a sensual relationship with your own thigh? And is that available to you? And do you even want that? Right? So even backing up as well and like, what are your goals? What do you want from sex? What do you want sex to be like? And how can you create internal safety for yourself that can make that possible? This is a big, juicy one. There's a lot to unpack in this one. Mm-hmm.
The part that really stuck out to me in this question statement experience is about the last part, about being an outcast. I think that's so hard. And obviously, we talk about sex constantly on this podcast. But speaking directly to you, the listener, now, we do not always have, like, we're not out here having amazing, incredible sex daily or anything like that. Like me right now, I also have no desire. I'm going through a bunch of medical stuff. So I'm not having sex really at all right now with myself or with somebody else. And it's like, you're not an outcast. You're not alone in that. It's not like...
Totally.
Just all this amazing sex is happening for everyone all around you, and you're just missing out. Right. You deserve access to it when you want it.
100%.
Yeah, you're definitely not alone.
I mean, that's how you and I connected initially, right before we started the podcast, was that we were around friends who had the best, in quotes, sex drive in the world, the best sex ever. Mm-hmm. They were having sex constantly, times a week. Mm-hmm. And we were both... in positions where we're like, oh my God, I don't even remember the last time I orgasmed. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the last time my partner came after me to like have sex. I don't remember any of that. And we're like, I can't even talk about sex as like a fun anecdote because I don't remember the last time I had it.
Right.
So I totally understand that outcast feeling as well when you can't.
Well, it's the FOMO convo again, right?
It is.
Right. It's believing that someone else's life, someone else's story, some other experience is somehow more better than what you're living right now. Mm-hmm. Right. Versus finding like, what is in this for me right now? Because it's what is. Mm-hmm. And so while you do the work to potentially shift it, if that's what you want, sort of speaking more writ large to this, like, how can you be at peace with what currently is so that you stop creating extra suffering for yourself? What's that going to look like? And you get to decide. Right. Do you want to step into acceptance or do you want to stay like?
Depends on the day for me.
Yeah.
Listen, and it can flow minute to minute. Right. And that's, you know, what we were saying before about befriending your emotions. And when the like grump comes about it, hi, grump. I see you. What do you want from me? What are you trying to create for me? What are you protecting me from? What's up, grump? What's up, pissed off, right? And holding space and love for that. So then something else can come that might feel more aligned with your actual goals for your life and your sex life.
I love that.
Me too. Yeah.
That was
don't need to keep telling the story I'm an outcast. Because as long as you keep, let's talk neuroplasticity for 2 milliseconds, neuroplasticity, your brain, plastic. Plastic is moldable, changeable, shiftable. Our brains can change. So if you... A belief is a story that you've told over and over and over and over and over again. A story is a thought. That's all it is. So as long as you keep telling the story, I'm an outcast because I'm an outcast because I'm an outcast. I have no sex drive. I have no sex drive. I have no sex. Okay. That's turning into concrete in your brain. Right. And so I'm not out here like, just change your mindset and everything improves. But like, also change your mindset and everything improves. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, it's both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Plus getting the biological workup, plus working with somatics, plus, right? Mm-hmm. But not changing your mindset means your mindset doesn't change. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's actually.
Do you want to keep telling that story?
Even reversing just the sentence, it hits different, mm-hmm. which is crazy. Right? Yeah. That was.
Yeah.
Woo.
Woo.
Wrapping that as there. Usual, that was good. Fire. Yeah, we fucking are. Always. That went by in a flash.
Where can our listeners continue connecting with you after this episode, besides in the next episode that we will be doing together?
Right. Oh, my. I never thought you'd ask.
So I know. It was a shock.
God, I'm like so stunned. Me? Oh, my God. So if you head on over to victorialbina.com/honeydewme, you can download a complimentary suite of meditations, inner child exercises, nervous system orienting exercises. They are FREE just for you as listeners of one of the two best podcasts on the planet. Mm-hmm. The other being Feminist Wellness, which is my podcast. It is for humans of all the many sexes and genders who believe in equality and also living a life that is really fucking dope. That's such a great tagline.
Yeah, yes, it is. That was great.
Right? Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow. You can check that out for free in all of the places. And finally, you can find me on Instagram. I give good gram mm-hmm. at Victoria Albina Wellness.
Woo! Woo! Here we are.
Dripping wet.
Dripping wet. No, but you could be.
You could be.
Yeah. We thank you so much, Victoria, for being on the podcast today. Mm-hmm. And thank you to our listeners for hanging out.
Yeah. Go ahead and share this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that needs it. Someone that compares themselves to you, that thinks you're so much better than them, and say, hey.
It's okay.
I am better. Yeah. But you don't have to feel that way.
That actually isn't my problem. Mm-hmm. And so if you could look at that, and then we can be friends.
I'm not here to manage your insecurities.
See, we're using all of Victoria's advice in the wrong way.
And it's great.
Yeah.
It's just dual purpose.
Use it toxically or use it... to better your wellness.
Yeah.
Up to you. As a reminder, if you did not listen to last week's episode, which you absolutely should go balls deep into mm-hmm. it and just yank your chain to it.
Yank your chain.
We are going to be taking a tiny, tiny hiatus. And by that, I mean we are taking summer off. But we would never leave
you
hanging.
Big old fat butt.
Big old butt, because we love big old butts. Mm-hmm. Bagel butts. We love bagel butts.
I love bagel butts. I do love bagel butts.
And pizza pockets. No. We are going to be releasing 3 episodes a month still in the month of June, July, and August. You're like, wow, that doesn't sound like much of a break. It's not.
It's not. You're absolutely correct. We can't get enough of you.
We just can't. 2 of those episodes are going to be re-releases, so we're going to dive headfirst into our vault, pull some of our favorites, record new intros so that you can hear our latest insights and wisdoms. Mm-hmm. And then the 3rd episode is going to be just like a little solo catch-up, a tête-à-tête.
Excuse me.
Tête-à-tête.
Tête-à-tête?
I don't know. How do you say that?
What are you saying?
You're the one who speaks French.
I don't know what you're saying.
Okay.
We're going to do a little catch-up.
A little back and forth. A little
look.
What's correct. The second? You watch New Girl, you get that.
Yeah. That's just a little reminder. We have, a month and a half left.
Yeah. So that doesn't start until June. It'll be through the summer. And then we're coming.
Two months left.
Yeah, we've got some months left.
Yeah.
And then we're going to come back beginning of September. Biggest balls you've ever seen.
Do you like these big balls?
You like these big balls? That's another thing from last episode. So if you don't get that, we're going to say it every time, so you better go get it.
Yeah.
Go
get it.
You better go get those big balls. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bigger, better things are coming, not just balls. We have a little thingy in our Instagram bio that if you have suggestions for these updates to Honey Do Me, we would love to know. What do you want to see more of? Don't tell us what you want to see less of, because that'll hurt our feelings.
And I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll do it harder.
I'm going to do it more and harder. Yeah, like that one person who said they made a fart joke. We made a fart joke every episode since that. Yeah. So it's going to backfire on you. And I mean that.
It's going to backfire. Real stinky like.
Real nasty like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I got to go to work.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this up and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Head on over to Apple Podcasts. Oh, rate, review, and subscribe to Honey Do Me. You can leave us a written review. You can also rate us on Spotify, and I'll leave you there, and I'll see you next week.
You horny toads.
Yeah.
Bye.
Go off, come hard. Bye.
You horny toads.